I'm Kenny McCarthy, and he's Joey Shimotaro. Welcome to the Gloucestercast.
This is the Gloucestercast, episode 13 on January 30th, 2012. I am Kent McCarthy of CapeBandBoat.com.
And I'm Joey Shimotaro from Good Morning Gloucester. It's weeks in a row, Kenny.
Very good. Very good. I woke up this morning and forgot. I got up early, though. I was on the yoga mat, and I remembered that we were podcasting today. So what's going on? What's new?
That's all right. I took care of the show notes in about, I think it took me all of 10 minutes for to put the show notes together.
So this should be a really good show.
This is it's no bearing on the quality. But, there's no more snow over here. But it was coming down for about an hour or so, about last hour. The snow was coming down sideways.
I'm in Beverly. Now, I'm in Beverly.
Any snow up there?
I'm in a cave here. I have no windows. But on the way down at 7:30 or so, it was coming down like crazy. So nothing in Gloucester though. It wasn't snowing at all in Gloucester then. So
yeah, it was here for a little while. Now it's blue skies and clouds, but no accumulation.
We've ruined the environment to the point where we're just not going to see tourists the way we used to see them anymore. Anyway, so
you think this is a trend? The warm winters.
I think extremes. And I definitely buy into the global warming.
But this
look at last winter. Look at the winter we had last year. I mean, we had like 80 feet of snow, and then this year it's 40s all winter.
So what does that have to do with? I mean, we had all that snow last year. You think it changed that fast or no?
No. I think the fact that it's back and forth, that we can't predict it anymore, that it's off the charts. And this is just me talking. So I'm no expert. I just know that the winters just aren't predictable anymore. The weather doesn't seem predictable. So, and I think
it seemed to me that we've been having this thing where it's like winter, 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 and then summer with no spring. But this is a pattern I've never seen. I don't remember ever getting all the way through January with no like accumulated snow. That's crazy.
No, I don't either. I don't either. Yeah. So
a lot of restaurant news this week, Kenny. A lot of restaurant. Very exciting. Very exciting. We broke the Tacos Lupita news. In the former location of Trupiano's deli and stuff, and then there was the Causeway Panini, Andiamo's, Colina Cafe, and now we have Tacos Lupita. And this place, it's at 68 Washington Street. If you read Chowhound or restaurant review sites, there's five other locations, and it gets rave reviews, like fresh ingredients, very low cost. Tuesday, the 31st, they're supposed to be opening for takeout.
Yep.
You're going to be very excited to know they have cow tongue.
Oh my gosh.
You love cow tongue.
You can't, I mean, do you have any idea what they have to do to the cow to get the tongue out?
I don't know if it could be any worse than what they have to do to get like the loin out, but
it's not a healthy beast by the time they she's not breathing by the time they get there. Okay, no, you're trying to wind me up already. I'm not taking the bait yet. Hey, whatever happened? I like Mexican. What happened to the truck that was down on Market Street, on
Roger Street.
Roger Street. Excuse me, on Roger Street. Yep. Yeah, I see it parked over by Foster's place.
Right, I know what you're talking about, the gas station that's closer to where Cape Ann Market used to be on Eastern Avenue.
Right,
past
right,
Foster's.
Right. Yep.
I think they're operating out of there.
I haven't seen it open.
Yeah. At the Happy Taco, for those that don't know, the yellow van.
Yeah. Those were good. I ate there a couple of times. His food was good. So Lupita is a is that a family outfit?
Family outfit. Well, I don't know if you call it a chain. I mean, maybe technically it's a chain, but it's one family, and they opened up the original one in Somerville, and then they had four other locations.
Wow.
And the original, the sister-in-law of these people that opened in Gloucester was the one that started the one, the original one.
Okay.
So
okay.
I don't know. Is that a chain?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. What I meant to say was, is it a franchise? Because you said there were five others, but it sounds like it's not a franchise. It's a family operation. That's great. That's great. I wish them all the luck.
Yeah,
people are very
excited. I mean,
Good.
There's that. And on this past Thursday night, there was the Passports wine dinner. Have you been to any of these? The wine dinners there?
Wine dinner, no. But I eat at Passports probably every couple of months. I eat there. I like Passports.
Really good job. It was $40 a head. It had four courses of wine and four wine, glasses and four courses.
Yep.
And by the time I left there, I could have slept there. I was the amount of food and the value and the quality of the food and the wines was just off the chart. People that don't go to that, if they like kind of on the fine dining thing, and to not take advantage of that, it's crazy not to. Yeah.
So you were there Thursday night? Yeah.
I went to this one. Yeah. I don't normally. Yeah. We usually have date night on Wednesday night. But we work things around so we could actually go to this one.
Yeah.
And Toby Pett is this guy that was a bartender for years in Gloucester, and he went, and he this is his. His quote right here is, Eric and his crew definitely hit it out of the park Thursday night. Chili was the wine guru that kind of talked about each different wine as it came out. And so they give you a little, you can discover wines too, which is a nice thing.
Yeah.
He says, as Chili mentioned to me that in Boston, the quality of food paired with the wines that he brought would be at least $100 per person. And I'm sure that he's right. There's no place in Gloucester that offers that kind of deal for the money. It should be sold out every month. So it's a monthly thing, so people should be aware of that.
Nice.
Yeah.
I went out Thursday night, and I happened to be on Washington Street, and I noticed there was a mob at George's.
Oh, yeah. Thursday night?
I think it was Thursday night, yeah.
Yeah, well, George's on George's Coffee Shop this Saturday celebrated their 10-year. Dean Sala is the brother. This George's has been in the family restaurant has been in the Sala family for years and years.
Yep.
Dean took it over 10 years ago, and when I was there for breakfast last week, one of the girls that works there told me. They planned a surprise. They surprised Dean and went in the middle of the night and decorated the whole place, and they and surprised him because he didn't know that anyone else knew that it was 10 years. But
nice.
Someone told them this is the 10-year anniversary, and they made a big deal out of it, which was
nice
to recognize. Dean does a lot for the city. He has a lot of fundraisers for the high school football, and
he's always got stuff in his windows. Yeah.
He really does. He's a great guy. Yeah. Yeah. Where did you eat this week?
I was at the Franklin Saturday night, and I had the best piece of salmon I've ever had. It was unbelievable. And I had sweet potato salad. It was like a warm potato salad with it. And this is one of their regular menu items. It wasn't a special because the specials were all warm and fuzzy creatures that I don't eat. So I just had the salmon, and it was unbelievable. It was really, really good. It had like a honey, like a sweet glaze on it. So I eat there about once a month.
Yeah, people like
good.
The Franklin. What's nice about the Franklin is they keep their kitchen open. I think the latest in Gloucester, I think the Franklin prides themselves on that. Dog Bar, I think, keeps their kitchen open pretty late, too.
Yeah, I wasn't there Saturday until 9:30, quarter of 10. So there were several other people there eating. So it was very comfortable.
kind of
a very comfortable,
evolved city right there. When you have late, you know, you can get food late night.
I couldn't believe all the people out Saturday night. I mean, there were cars everywhere parked. You know, I had to park on Roger Street and walk up. So my buddy Eric
that owns Passport said he had a monster week of sales at Passports.
Really?
I think he attributed it to the good weather. So you definitely hit on something there
for sure.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm glad they're all doing well. Hey, I was noticing on the blog, and it just never dawned on me to ask you: is Sister Felicia your sister?
As opposed to a nun, you mean? What do you mean?
No. I mean, you refer to her as Sister Felicia. I know she's not a nun. At least I don't think she's a nun.
what else would she be?
I don't know.
Like
I don't know.
Sister, you think she's black woman disguised? Did she put on white face for the show?
I didn't know. I thought, I'm wondering where this name comes from, because you have all these little nicknames for people, you know?
Yeah. So. No, she is my sister. It's just,
okay.
She does so much for the city. She does so much for the blog and her cooking show and everything else like that. I don't feel like saying Felicia, and then, you know, it's my sister. So I just say, so she's become Sister Felicia.
She's
my sister. My younger sister, I should say. She's a year and a couple months younger than me.
Yep.
She's still holding up pretty good, though. She hasn't let herself go to hell. She cooks really. She's an unbelievable cook. I don't know. We're lucky in our family. I think we get it from my mom's side. We have really fast metabolisms, so we can eat like, you know, a lot and not pack it on.
Not so in my family, at least in my metabolism. But
we watch all the football games at her house. Like, if I get out of work on Sunday early enough, I go over there and watch football, and she just cooks up like she's an animal.
Yep.
Old school. What do you think about the Patriots?
That's been hard for me this year because I gave up my TV. The llama that I study with, Llama Maru, rails against TV, and he basically says there's only two types of programs on television. There's the awful show, and there's the useless show. The useless show is the news and the situation comedies. The awful show is the cop dramas, the violence, and that's what he claims are the two types of TV. So I've been studying with this guy for 6 or 7 years now, and every time I see him speak, which is, you know, I see him 2 or 3 times a year, he talks about the TV and how much more time in my life I would have if I wasn't watching TV or didn't have one in the house. Well, I don't watch a lot of it anyways, but I had the opportunity in March to get rid of the TV, and I can't believe how much better I feel about, you know, just in general. You know, I wake up in the morning and I'm smiling and I'm not thinking about, you know, I'm not dreading this, that, or the other. It's just very different. So I don't have a TV anymore, Joe. What do you think?
I'm here. But, I see how that would totally help you. I can see the benefits to it. I don't see it being anywhere. I don't see it happening in my life, but I could definitely see that happening. For example, the Super Bowl, which is coming up. I'm going to be watching the Super Bowl. Are you not going to watch the Super Bowl?
No. I am. But I've only seen a couple of Patriots games this year because it was just hard to find a TV.
Yeah, there you go. I get it.
You know?
Yeah.
It was really inconvenient to do that. But this week I'll end up at somebody's house. Last week I was at my buddy Steve's house. Saw that game. That was a good game last week. But
vegan. What do you eat for the Super Bowl as a vegan? Because usually everything revolves around meat. and you know, yeah. like sausage on the grill and chicken wings and chili. Well, what is a vegan at the Super Bowl?
I'm not vegan. I'm just a guy that doesn't eat most meat. So, and I cheat once in a while. You know, we're gonna get in trouble one of these times. We're gonna get in trouble for doing all this vegan talk, but neither one of us is a vegan.
I'm not saying I'm a vegan. You're the one, you know.
Yeah, you're the one that keeps calling me a vegan. vegans don't, they don't use animal, well, there's a couple of different kinds of vegans. There's ethical vegans, there's dietary vegans, there's environmental vegans, but basically vegans don't use animal products. So, you know, yeah. They don't eat eggs, they don't eat dairy, none of that. And I'm, you know, I eat fish.
So just tell me. So break it down for me, though. Break it down for me. What do you think? Your ideal Super Bowl thing. What are you gonna eat?
I like chili, but we'll meat. I like that. I like salsa. I like shrimp cocktail. Last Sunday I ate like a bag of Doritos and a bag of Fritos, and I ate more crap last Sunday. But I had a hangover from it on Monday. It was awful.
So you don't care about the shrimp's feelings, but you care about the cow's feeling. I've been told that shrimp don't have any feelings.
That's
okay. Shrimp and lobsters don't have any feelings. Yeah.
No. Lobsters. I didn't say lobsters. I won't eat it. If it was killed specifically for me, like I won't have a boiled lobster, because boiled lobsters are always killed for the person that's going to eat it, right? So, lobster meat is different, and I've never quite been able to figure this out.
How is shrimp? Wait a second, back up. You can't get away from this. How is shrimp meat? You say you eat shrimp, but the lobster's different. How is that?
The shrimp were frozen on the boat and then shipped up here in a bag. All right?
It was made to eat. It was made to eat specifically.
They didn't kill any extra shrimp for me to eat. That's the point behind it. And I know it sounds like it's a rationalization. But just the way it was taught to me. I was told. It's not a rule. It's just one of those things that a lot of Buddhists follow. They won't eat it if it's killed for them.
But lobsters.
And lobsters kill for you. So are steamers, for example. You don't get steamers unless they were live. You put in an order of steamers, and they say, "Oh, okay, well, let's go out and get some live steamers and we'll drop them in the boiling water for you." So I know it sounds kind of, I don't know how it sounds, but I've been following it. I don't think it makes me a bad person.
No. I like Buddhism. There's a lot of good Buddhism stuff. What drives me crazy is the hypocrisy in some things in all religions. I'm just saying.
And there's some of that in Buddhism too. There's some of it in Buddhism. So it's definitely not immune to that, but
I was reading something on someone else's blog yesterday, and she was, and her name is Kelsey, and she was talking about how you're never supposed to bring up politics or religion in polite company.
Yeah.
And she was saying, well, you know, she goes, I think that, you know, in this day and age, that I should be able to talk about politics on my blog and not expect to lose, subscribers or my readership or have angry things written towards me. I think that we should be able to have a polite discussion about it.
Yep.
And you know, I have a rule on my blog. I feel completely. I realize she said she's taken a stance that you should be able to have this conversation. I recognize that there, in this country, we've become so divided between hardcore left and hardcore right. Neither one of them want to listen to the other side. So on the blog, I have this no politics, no religion policy. You don't take a stand on any, because it's no win. You're going to piss somebody off, And that's not, we're not here to piss people off. So one of my contributors put something up the other day about this guy, Vermin Supreme. And he looks like something right out of the left wing, whatever. Which is, you know, I'm no dispersions on whatever his views are. But
he's a performance artist?
I don't know what the hell he is. I don't read into it because I don't listen to this shit, you know. But he, you know, he wears a boot on his head and he has this very colorful outfit and whatever, you know. So I guess he's from Rockport, and she put it on the blog. And right off the bat, right, the comments come in, and the hardcore conservative people take shots at him, and the hardcore liberal people are defending him. And neither one is listening to the other side at all because they all have blinders on to any other point of view than what they have of their own party tells them that they're supposed to think. And it goes down. And I just wrote after, like, these couple people chimed in. I'm like, to drive the point home to my contributor EJ, and this is why I don't do politics on Good Morning Gloucester, because you can't have in this day and age, I'm sad to say, there can't be a political conversation anymore because it just devolves into, you know, you're an idiot because you're not, I'm conservative and you're not, and you're, or the liberal says, you're an idiot because I'm liberal and you're not, and it's just crazy now. There's no one listens to anyone except for what their party tells them what they're supposed to think. It's crazy.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think it's because I'll tell you what my theory is. My theory is because there's swings, and the two-party system is so established that the money flows to the way to the left and the money flows way to the right. The guy in the middle gets no money. And when things have gone so far left that there's a way imbalance in the country, the people and things start getting messed up, the people will go the other way and go towards, you know, the hardcore conservative side. And then when they go way hard, far conservative, it swings all the way over. And they can't campaign on a moderate they can't campaign. Because, look, Obama's getting crap from his own party for not being liberal enough, and in the Republican primaries they're giving Mitt Romney crap and Newt Gingrich of all people is winning these primaries because they're saying Mitt Romney's too liberal, he's too moderate. So this is the way it is. We get like you fall into one camp or the other. I think there's a lot of people like me in the middle that, you know, will listen to both sides, but you can't have conversations because you know, it's nothing productive gets done.
And then there's people like me that don't listen to either side because I don't have a TV.
Yep.
And I don't read the newspaper. And I'll tell you, I think, and you might think this is too simple, but I think it's due to the media coverage. And the TV shows. I go and spend two or three times a year. I spend a week in Florida with my buddy, and he has his TV on a lot. When we're in the house, pretty much the TV is on, and it's usually on one of the news channels. And I can't believe the stuff coming out of people's mouths, the bullshit that people are talking about, and what passes for news, and. I think that so much of the news and so much of what's reported is driven to get the ratings up and driven to stir people up. I wonder what would happen if there wasn't any coverage on any of this stuff for a week. Would things cool down? Would people stop screaming at each other? Would people stop going to the extremes? I mean, we all put our pants on one leg at a time, for crying out loud. So I don't know. It's scary, though. You're right. All you have to do is mention politics now, and there's somebody at the bar or there's somebody in the room that's going to take the other side and take a hard stance on the other side, too. And I think a lot of it, again, is, you know, people are just repeating what these numbskulls on the TV are saying.
Yeah. And whatever their party says, That's right. gospel. There can't be. Right. It can't be anything right. else. It can't.
It's not
it
black
can't
and white,
be
Joey.
Another solution.
Right. It's not black and white. We're supposed to work together yeah. on this stuff. We're supposed to cooperate. And I love the quote that I read that Greg Bauer puts a quote up on the
Greg
blog.
Greg Bauer. Yep.
Bauer, is that how you pronounce it?
Bauer, it's with a V.
Sorry. Anyways, but the whole quote, the whole modern world has divided itself into conservatives and progressives. The business of progressives is to go on making mistakes. The business of the conservatives is to prevent the mistakes from being corrected. I can't remember who said it, but it was some guy that was writing in the 19th century. And we've kind of devolved to that now. People in Congress aren't talking back and forth. And nothing's, you know, it's not getting done. It's just a lot of money's being spent, a lot of money. And it's
broken, for sure.
Yep, it's definitely broken. Crazy. All right, maybe we should move on and talk about Bikini Speedo Dodgeball.
Yes, my passion. this is what gets my juices flowing.
Yeah,
through the car,
baby.
That's what I'm talking about here. Peace, love, and dodgeball, baby.
Right. Peace, love, and volleyball, yep.
Peace, love, and volleyball. I might have to get that put on the – we should put that on the T-shirts. That would be – I'm going to ask – have my boy Frankie Glenn put that on the T.
Yeah, not bad.
The T-shirt. Yep.
PLBB.
There you go. We have new news to report. There's three new teams that signed up for Bikini Speedo Dodgeball at the Fonbon Grill on March 4th.
Yeah.
Jungle Silk Screeners, Silk Screen Printing in Ipswich, Passports Restaurant in downtown Gloucester, my buddy Eric's place, and Ed Collard's House Doctors. Three new places. And there's been some controversy already. Eric Orton from Passports told me they ordered their bikinis and speedos, and they are red bikinis and speedos with white maple leaves on the ass, and they're looking to get some white swim caps with the maple leaf on them as well, like the swimmers wear. Very exciting. And there's the Fonbon Grill has two teams. Ryan and Wood Distillery has a team. George's Coffee Shop, Sugar Mags, CrossFit Cape Ann, Beverly Athletic Club, Good Morning Gloucester, and the three new ones. Eric also has called out CrossFit Cape Ann in a strong statement. He said, CrossFit Cape Ann, they're going down like a sweet muffin.
Who called out CrossFit?
That was Eric Lorden from Passports. What's his name? Team Bacon.
Those are fighting words.
I know. Very exciting. All right, I'm going to put you on the spot right now, though. This is
why
I'm going to put you on the spot. We're going to see how well you know. If you have something off the top of your head, I'm gonna put you on the spot right here. I want you to name one. You can take your pick. One or two of the top real estate properties in Gloucester that has come across your desk that you say that's an unbelievable value. Someone should have already bought that for this price. Now you take that away. One or two properties. You can mention the address, and then after that, I want you to say how people can get in touch with you if they want to look at those properties.
Huh. Should have bought that already. I hate it when people put me on the spot.
That's four star right now. You look at real estate all the time, right? So you have to
yeah. You know what, Joe? I haven't seen anything like that. I can't believe that somebody hasn't bought it yet. There's a lot of good stuff on the market, and there's a lot of good deals on the market. Let's see. A unique property. Way up on Wheeler Street, on the left-hand side, it's a two-family, believe it or not. for $6.99. I mean, there's some great houses out there, but the prices are off. Some of the prices are still, you know, off, and people haven't figured it out. Like, this house is $700,000, and it's been sitting there for, you know, 4 or 5 months, and it hasn't moved. It's the wrong price. It's on the water. It's a cute house. It needs some work, but it's definitely livable as it is. It's got a great one bedroom apartment in it, and it's got access right there to the river. But it hasn't gone anywhere yet. And it's
that's a property someone could place if it's been on the market for 4 or 5 months. Someone could put an offer on it, right?
Of course.
There might be some room there.
Yeah, people that the sellers don't realize they're afraid that if they put it on the market and it goes right away, they didn't price it high enough. That's not the way it works. People have been out looking for months. And when your house goes on the market, if it's priced right, you'll get offers on it. If you don't get offers on it in the first 2 or 3 weeks, your price is off. And it's way off, because people will make offers within, you know, 3 or 4% of what they think it's worth. But if you're off more than 3 or 4%, they're not even going to talk to you because they figure you're unreasonable. So, you know, that house is probably $100,000 overpriced, because nobody's, you know, it hasn't gone anywhere.
So, well, there you go. So how can people get in touch with you if they want to take a look at that property?
978-758-4983. Or text me. Or Kenny@CapeAnInfo.com.
Kenny@CapeAnInfo.com. Okay, that's good. Actually, that's nice, short and sweet, perfect. I love that. Because now I'm intrigued. I want to take a ride right now down Wheeler Street and look for the sign, and then call you up and have you take me through it if I had the dough to do it. But you know,
I'm going to take a ride. Yeah,
I'm going to take a ride. I'm going to go check it out.
It's way up on the left-hand side. I think I can't remember the number, but I was in it. I showed it to people, to clients, a couple of weeks ago.
All right. The next time we have a podcast, I'm going to ask you the same question. That's going to be our real estate question. Kenny's interesting property of the week. Go check it out. And then,
All right. I'll have a property
you're back
for you next time.
How many properties are currently for sale in Gloucester? I mean, roughly. Give me an idea. Is it 1,000?
Roughly, there are probably, let's see, 70, 80, something like that.
That's it?
That's single families. And then there's condos. There's probably that many condos as well. There's probably 300-ish.
That sounds low to me. In a historical perspective, is that average?
It's about average. It's about the same that was on the market this time last year. It's about the same.
And how many is, like, you know, during a period where there's, like, when there's a ton of inventory, how high does it get? And then that kind of – how high have you seen it?
I've seen it up 20% over that. So,
you
know, if there's 400 total properties on the market now, you know, there may be maybe 500 on the market at any given time. We're in a fishbowl here. It's a small market, Gloucester and Rockport.
Yeah.
You know what I couldn't believe? There's 1,200 condos in Rockport.
Wow.
I was doing some research the other day. There's 1,200 condominiums in Rockport. I was really surprised at that number. So, and I can't roll this stuff off the tip of my tongue. I just happened to look it up recently. If I can look stuff up, I don't remember it. I don't know.
No, I'm the same way. I can't see Rockport to me and like Lanesville. And no offense to these places, but it's just too far from me.
I hear you.
You know, like to get to the malls and to get to Boston and to get to stuff, it's just the end of the world to me.
Yep.
I don't know. But
yeah.
Some people from Lanesville might feel East Gloucester is the end of the world to them. So who am I to say, right?
Right. Correct. Yeah. Correct. So it's okay. We love living here.
Absolutely. Yeah. What's going on? Well, let's talk about what we got to do. We got to do your dog segment. We haven't got to the dogs yet.
I two things about the dogs this week. I took Kit to the vet last week, and for her annual visit. And I got to tell you, I'm sick of going to Salem. I love the vet I have in Salem. I go to the Hawthorne Animal, I think it's called. It's on Canal Street in Salem. Really nice people. In fact, one or two of the people who work there are from Gloucester. But so we had, you know, she had her annual checkup last week, and but I want to find somebody in Gloucester, so I need a recommendation.
Ray Cahill.
Ray Cahill.
You gotta go see Ray, the Cape Ann vet. Yeah, he's on. He's at Seaport Veterinary Hospital. Is on Eastern Avenue. I think it's where Peter Lane's old real estate office was, just after the Parry Church building on the left.
I know what you mean. Yep. I know where it is. Okay, in the little cape there.
Yep, the little cape there. Yeah, people rave about him, and he's very involved with the dog park. He's very involved with like when there's like a dog that's gone missing. I get emails from him immediately. He's like,
really?
Joe, you got to put this on. He cares about dogs. He cares.
Yeah.
Like I could give two shits about dogs, but this guy, he loves dogs.
Yeah.
He's a dog guy. So
does that mean you wouldn't take my dog and watch my dog for a week or so,
no,
or when I went away?
I wouldn't watch a dog. I wouldn't let the dog in the house. What I would do, if you were in a bind as a friend, I would pay. I would I would get the dog somehow or other. I'd put him in the back of the truck and I would bring him to the seaport, the kennel. Well, we could stay and hang out and stuff, and I would pay for that for you, but I would not have a dog in the house.
All right, I'll call Ray Cahill. I'll call Ray Cahill.
Yeah, he's on Twitter too. Ray's on Twitter at Seaport Vet.
You look him up
on Twitter, and he responds to his Twitter feed. So
good. Yeah. The other thing, yesterday we took a walk up. It's kind of the elusive Mount Ann, all right? You know where the storage place is there by 133 and 128? Cape Ann Storage?
There's like a bazillion of them.
128 and 133 at the junction.
Oh, okay. At exit 14.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I know where Red Rock is, and I've been up there several times. But I've been looking for, like the summit of Mount Ann, and I found a new trail yesterday that a buddy of mine told me about. Behind that, the brown house, supposedly that there's a public right of way down this guy's driveway and onto the trail. There was nobody around. I was going to bang on the door and ask just to make sure I wasn't trespassing, but there was nobody around. So I
scared the hell out of those people.
And me and the vicious dog went down the driveway and went traipsing around in the woods for an hour and a half. It was a great walk. It was a great walk. A little bit of hill in there, but I still haven't found. This would be on the water side of 128, on the northbound side of 128. But it was just another good walk. I didn't take any pictures of it, but to put up on the dog walk map yet, but I'll get in there again and get some pictures of it. So there's another dog walk for people, but you might want to knock on the guy's door if there's any cars in the driveway before you get out his driveway.
Take his shotgun out.
Right. So that's all the dog news I've got.
There you go. It's amazing that you could go walking out the dog out in the mountains at the end of almost February.
No snowshoes. Usually this time of year we're out. I got snowshoes on when I'm doing that. So I'm not complaining.
Yeah. Very good. All right. I think we got another podcast in the books, Kenny.
Okay, buddy.
Sounds good. For Good Morning Gloucester, I'm Joey Shimataro. This has been podcast number 13, the Gloucester Cast.
See you next week.